Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, friends, it's a new episode of The Football Ramble. It's a work of art from the paintbrush of Josh Onimar. It's Tuesday, the 28th of July. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
I wish you guys could see the look of extreme concentration that descends on Andy Brassel's face as he says his own name.
It's ever so intimidating doing it after the great Pete Donaldson.
I know, right? That's the problem. I mean, we're all kind of in a hushed, kind of like serious kind of frame of mind because Kate was given the big licks just before we started about how good she is at cello. So we're all feeling very sort of weak. Under Dr. Cello over there.
I merely observed that perhaps a moment's silence, like before I used to do in my orchestra rehearsals to get us in the zone.
Is that how good you were that people said, silence, please, Kate?
Thank you for your scales. I'll shut up and get out. Yeah. I just wanted us to be in the perfect zone so that we could offer our best performance to the Ramble listeners.
If you were going to dedicate a piece of classical music to Josh Onimar today, what would it be?
It's difficult. I don't think there was as much. I'm thinking Tchaikovsky. I think right. that's as, you know, the way he kind of slalomed past those poor old Cardiff players.
There's a bit of that to it, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone else has got a bit of...
I'm grade one violin. Have a bit of that.
It felt like the world... For me,
I think that's the best I've ever shouted that. I'm grade one violin. Have a bit of that. What a pathetic flex. Oh, everyone else went to the ski slope in Sunderland and I had to do my grade one exam. Failed it. Took it again.
There's a ski slope in Sunderland.
I think it's in Sunderland. Reveal.
Well, technically, Seaham.
Technically, Washington.
Have you been to it? Is it definitely true?
I've never been. The kids disappeared. I stay at home and do my grade one exam. Terrible. Oh. I was terrible at the violin.
Ramble trip.
Can we go skiing? If I was going to look around the room, who's the best skier? Probably say you, Kate. Would that be fair?
I'm not very good at skiing.
Right. You've done it, though.
But I've done it.
Yeah.
I have done it. Have you done it?
Yeah, the last time I went skiing was in Spain, maybe.
Ooh. Yeah. Nice.
Japan's big on skiing.
Yes. Yeah, up north, up Hokkaido way. Lovely.
Yeah. So perhaps that's what we should do.
Fat powder, I hear. I think that's what the cool kids say.
Right. Right. Certainly they say some things along those lines. And what they probably don't say is... 10 minutes on the
championship playoff. They don't say championship playoff recap, which it says in the running order.
Ah, lovely. Come on then, let's dig into it. Cardiff 0, Fulham 2. Lovely bit of Josh Onimar magic. Plus some Neeskens Cabano. Mm-hmm. 90 plus 1. direct free kick. That's what it says in mine.
It was a free kick dipper, wasn't it? Would it be fair to say that the keeper probably could have done better because it was a good height for him?
Yes, and also, why didn't the wall move at all?
One of them moved, but not all of them.
But only by, like, yay much. Good podcast.
It was year high on the post, and I thought, oh, come on now, that was a good height for the goalkeeper. But an excellent result for Fulham, who just seem to really like getting into the Premier League.
don't they just? I bet they're looking forward to being next season's Aston Villa after Aston Villa were this season's Fulham.
Yeah.
I realise that is a comparison that will infuriate fans of both Fulham and Aston Villa, which is really the only reason that I've said it.
Yeah.
Because there are very different reasons that they spent 100 million plus on failure.
Well, I was in a supermarket listening to your very voice yesterday talking about Aston Villa doing more Aston Villa-y stuff. The last time that they were in the Premier League.
I like to make friends in that part of the world. I think it's because when I was playing with the Wimbledon Junior Dons team 1 year, we went up to Aston Villa and, well, I guess I was probably about 13, 14.
I thought you were going to say you were like 25 and you were having a kick around.
Overage player.
Journalist.
Juan Mata in the Spanish under 21s. That was me. And so we turned up and basically we were meant to have a game at 11 o'clock in the morning with our Villa equivalents and then be their guests for a buffet lunch and watch the game in the afternoon
at
Villa Park. We got there and this man answered the door and said, "The game's off. Fuck off, lads."
And
basically, it didn't happen. So,
the coolest named team in the world.
Exactly.
Don't swear at children.
We hung about in the park across the road.
Demanding buffet.
the older kids smoked and set fire to stuff until the game started, really.
Oh, really? Yeah. So the game did start then?
The buffet had been
cancelled.
Yeah, the actual Premier League game, I suppose it would have been Division One game in those days at 3 p.m. But yeah, no buffet neither.
No. Oh, I mean, I'd hit Aston Villa for what they did with their banners when Newcastle went down. Up yours. Up yours, Villa.
We're over it now. We're over these things.
Yeah. You'll get your time, Peter, don't you worry. I heard producer Charlie says you rolled pretty deep with the Wimbledon Ultras. What's their vibe?
Well, the thing is, you can borrow pyro off Boca Juniors because we have the same colour. So,
good point. Yes, nice. Like it.
Works perfectly.
Was it a lovely moment when Scott Parker embraced Anoma at the end of the match? That brought a tear to my eye because I love Scott Parker and I loved the way that player that, like, I think you said on the WhatsApp last night, Andy, he's kind of flattered to deceive that footballer, but what a goal. What a goal.
He's been taking an absolute hammering from Fulham fans, hasn't he?
Yes, hasn't he? Yeah.
And speaking of skiing, that was a bit of a slalom through the defence, who could have possibly done a little bit better. I'm looking at Cardiff. I'm just saying the keeper could have done a bit with a free kick. I think the defence could have probably stayed on their feet a little bit when he scored the goal. So not great from them.
But I think it was like Fulham in microcosm, really, wasn't it? Because, I mean, they were second best in the first half. I thought Cardiff looked pretty strong. And then the second half, I just got this sense of calmness from Fulham. The fact that they sort of grew into the occasion a little bit. And I think you sort of sense that in the Onoma goal. Like, the dribble's great, but the last little jink around the defender to keep your head and slot it in the corner is very, very impressive. Because to actually complete the goal, the constituent parts of it are not that difficult on their own, but to string it all together
is
pretty amazing.
Put it past,
that's exactly right. He was himself very calm in the face of Alex Smithies in goal. And you're right. Yes, the defenders could have done better, but he took what he had and managed to finish, and it was brilliant. And you're right. And Scott Parker, every single time he spoke a lot in the Sky coverage afterwards, and he kept saying he just couldn't stop talking about how hard a time Josh Onoma has had and about how he found it difficult. You know, he wasn't sure if he was going to make it and he was going to play well, based on some of the criticism he's been having. So it was actually...
He's got his gif. He can retire happy, says Scott Parker. There were, speaking of gifs, a lot of people on Twitter were noticing that Scott Parker apparently winked at the referee and the referee returned the wink. Oh, backstage intrigue. It's exciting.
Goodness.
But I'm not saying anything about Scott Parker or the referee, but Scott Parker... All I could see from the gif that was provided to me was Scott Parker did a wink. I didn't see the referee wink back. That's all.
Ah, okay, so the second wink could have been fictional.
We need a VAR on the ref wink.
There are many different kinds of winks, though, aren't there?
There are.
Sort of awkward supermarket wink.
let's hear about this one. When I'm listening to Andy Brassel on Football Ramble every day. Ooh.
For me, it sometimes happens accidentally when you're trying to be too friendly to someone just in passing. I just find myself winking.
Or you take a big bag of flour off a top shelf and a bit of it gets in your eye and you go, "Ah! I'm the flower pirate."
Yeah, exactly like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Never. So you're telling me you've never just winked out of awkwardness?
No, because I'm a man and that's a bad look.
Bad luck.
It's not bad luck as in like some terrible fate will befall me. It's just a bad luck. I'm not a handsome man, Kate. I'd be thrown out. Mask or no mask?
I thought you said bad luck, as you can tell. And I thought it was like that kind of, you know, if you don't make eye contact with someone when you're saying cheers. It's seven years bad sex or whatever.
Yeah. Again.
Isn't that only in France? I think that's only in France.
The French have bad sex.
Not a single one.
No, that's not possible, as we know. Come on, let's not be silly here.
It is biologically impossible for a French person to have bad sex and not to have a cigarette afterwards.
Good. Well, I'm glad we're moving away from these xenophobic stereotypes. Is it still xenophobic if it's broadly positive?
I think it is, yes.
I think it's simply regionalist until 31st of December when we leave the European Union.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Mate, Pangea. We were just, one big lump, weren't we? And then we were just broke away.
Oh, no.
And I, for one, love it.
This is tragic. Right. Onomos Gids, they were good, Fulham as well, without Mitrovic. Of course, he's injured afterwards. Mm. Scott Parker didn't seem to know if he was going to be ready for next game.
Would someone say better without Mitrovic? Because I think the numbers back that out. I think my Fulham friend Archie Rintoul, who tweeted about this last night, was saying they played six games without him this season, 1-5 and drawn one.
It's bizarre, isn't it? And also there's this weird thing about Fulham having the most chances in the division but actually not scoring proportionately that many goals. Mm. Mm. So despite being the Golden Boot winner, perhaps he's not that good at finishing.
He gets a bit stodgy at times with him, I think. He sort of drops deep a little bit to pick up the ball, or he certainly did back when he played for my football team. And you are always a little bit worried that he's one yellow card losing a player. So maybe teams could play a little more conservatively when he's in the side.
It's funny because we had beef even without Mitrovic, didn't we? A bit of, would we say, light beef between Harris and Parker? Carpaccio, maybe.
A nice bit of light carpaccio, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're saying light beef is sort of less well cooked in that instance?
I think it's about the thickness of the cut rather than the cooking of it.
Got it.
Is there a raw egg on top or not? That's what I want to know. But well done to Fulham. I think that's going to be a hell of a mountain to climb out of.
Do you think they're going to end up playing the Swans or the Bees in the final?
Well, that's the big question. So, the next leg is on Thursday at Craven Cottage, of course. Mm. So they're taking that 2-0 advantage, Fulham home. Although, you know, query home advantage, etc. at the moment. Mm. But
I can't believe I said the Swans versus the Bees. I'm really glad you papered over that.
Would you like to carry on with that little flight of fancy?
No, I don't really know much about animals, so I don't want to dig myself a further hole.
Okay.
Could a swan break a bee's arm? That's what I want to know.
You're taking this far too literally.
Well, I mean, bees, strictly speaking, have arms. That's what I'm concerned about.
I'm not concerned about it at all. I was enjoying the flight of fancy. I'll happily move on to Swansea Brentford, to be quite frank.
Either way, the mascots are not in the building.
That's perfect PPE, isn't it? Right, the old mascot kind of setup. You're not going to catch anything or give anyone anything.
But how do you think you feel as one of those big furry idiots to know that to know that you're not essential staff?
Yes,
it's not me criticizing them. It's football society criticizing them by saying you're not essential staff. Stay away from the ground.
And presumably, if you're a furloughed mascot inhabitor, so to speak. The mascot doesn't go home with you at night. That's in a cupboard somewhere at the stadium. Ooh. Because it doesn't. You don't need to leave. You can't be, you know, slamming ales down the pub. It's not like an errant eagle. You can't take that elsewhere. You can't be like a gun for hire when it comes to being a mascot.
Right. So you're saying that it's housed in the club.
Yeah.
So that could have COVID. The mascot outfit could itself have COVID.
No. I'm just saying that
it's impractical to leave with it.
You've been furloughed, and also your very identity is challenged because your uniform and your reason for being bees again is stuck at the stadium.
You see, because I thought you were simply saying, who the hell is going to leave work wearing a 7-foot swan costume? Is it a little impractical? Do they have to put it under the stairs by the dressing rooms?
And I come from a town who elected the Hartlepool United mascot. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Which one's the most aggressive of the mascots? Because I know the Wolves mascot, maybe playing up to character, got into the odd fights. Was it last season or the season before?
Right. Okay.
But I don't think he's the most, or she perhaps, is the most aggressive of the mascots. Mm. I wonder if they play into their animal stereotypes. Yeah, the swan would be...
I don't know about aggressive, but the most mischievous. I remember like when you go to the press bit at Borussia Dortmund, in the main stand, you walk through the museum to get there, which is very nice and very interesting. But I was looking at something on the wall of the museum and I got a tap on the shoulder and I turned around to see no one there but the Borussia Dortmund mascot, Emma, which is a buzzy bee running off.
Just running around, buzzing around. Lovely old job.
Sort of knocked down ginger on my shoulders.
Yeah. When I used to live in Leicester, I did see Filbert Fox eating out of a bin once. So.
No, you didn't. let's keep it within the realms of reality, shall we, Pete?
Fuck that.
This has all been very straight-laced until you started off with that madness. Andre Ayew, lovely old goal, and probably quite relieved after he had that penalty saved. Although David Raya did well, but it was pretty sensual, his penalty. So gave him a chance, I guess.
It was very Jordan Pickford. I think Marcus's Pickford gland would have been pulsing at that moment.
Well, yeah, and he's only 24 years old, David Raya, and he is Spanish. Well, we know they're having the odd trouble with their... potential number one goalkeepers. So
I think we should concentrate on the fact that Andre Ayew's goal was brilliant.
It was squeezed.
That they've got a player like that playing in the Championship. They're so lucky to have him. You know, he's a big game player. He's a big moment player. And yeah, I love him. I think he's absolutely great. And it was just such a satisfying hit.
Yeah.
He smashed that, didn't he? There was a bit of a deal of frustration in it as well, but I think was it Jim or Marcus was saying like last week, you never really fancy the team that's missed out on the opportunity to go up automatically on the final day to do it in the playoffs, and that scent is kind of clinging to Brentford at the moment, even though they had, right up until those two little stumbles at the end, they had an incredible run in, didn't they? From the resumption of the Championship until the end of the season, which got them in the position to get automatically promoted in the first place.
And we're constantly told that momentum does... The facts speak themselves, the statistics speak themselves. Momentum doesn't matter. How can it not? It happens every year, this.
Yeah.
The teams that narrowly miss out just don't sort of manage it. I do kind of fear for Brentford. Obviously, they've been lauded for their kind of youth setup and how and their kind of money ball, I hate to say it, kind of approach to transfers and stuff like that. It will be a shame if they don't go, because it is quite a romantic story. I mean,
it's someone new and different.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And we've seen these other dudes before. Let's get a bit of Brentford in the new stadium. That's
right
what
next
we want.
Sky.
Extremely short trip. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Although probably easier to go and watch if they're still in the Championship.
True. But Ray, obviously, he's a target for Arsenal, I believe.
And Man City, supposedly. Yeah, so although maybe Chelsea should be having a little look.
He's had some really, really good performances in the Championship, and I can see him them making all that. I think they've priced him at about 11, 12 million. I think so. I'd go for more, to be honest. He looks good.
Seems like a good deal. Mm. Yeah, as you're absolutely right, of course. Brentford, 8 straight wins and then 2 defeats, including that one to Barnsley. So that's probably going to knock your confidence a little bit. Old Thomas Frank, Barnsley had been, you know, 24th with 3 games remaining. Mm. So you wouldn't have expected that to happen.
Yeah.
And but I was fully on the Brentford train, I have to say.
But they again, a short train from Sky.
yeah, especially laid on.
I think their nerves kind of showed with the penalty, which even though there wasn't much of a connection, what are you doing for crying out loud? And obviously the sending off as well. You know,
do we back that, Rico Henry's sending off?
It was at speed. He endangered the player. I think that's a pretty sort of boilerplate red card for me.
Same. It's a very modern red card, but it's still a red card.
Yeah, I mean, he did career into him.
When people say
with a lot of feet,
yes, with a lot of feet, yes. when people say something's a modern red card, a very modern red card, that seems a criticism. Personally, I think, well, if you ask Leo Messi and Diego Maradona, for example, which football would you rather play in? I'd prefer to play in the football where I didn't get snapped in half.
Every week.
That is emphatically a good thing. That the welfare of players is more important nowadays.
I think the modern red card is: can you stand up really quickly after you've done a two footer? That's because that kind of what happened last night. You stood up and that was not a red card. Just because you stood up quickly, you still went in at speed. He might have been a little bit unlucky, but you know, they look nervy at times, and I hope they fortify themselves emotionally for the second leg, because I'd like to see Brentford, and obviously we've seen their opponents up in the Premier League recently, and more of a romantic story.
Okay. Yeah.
Well done for not finishing that with boring.
Yeah, right. So they are on Wednesday playing their second leg. So it's only a 1-0 advantage, Swansea. See what they can do. Player final itself is Tuesday, August the 4th at Wembley. Another weird, weird one. Let's talk about transfers, shall we?
Let's.
Just 69 days remaining, guys, until the transfer window slams shut. Come on.
Is it going to be more sensible or more boring? Or what's happening this time around? Because obviously everyone's talking about the lack of money in the market, but that must mean there must be a lot of value in the market, as they would say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the most exquisite transfer period.
Well, maybe. I guess the question is, what are teams prepared to accept and how desperately do they need the money? I mean, the Jadon Sancho and Borussia Dortmund one is quite an interesting one, because it was interesting that United were briefing like a couple of weeks ago, very recently. Oh, well, we're looking at around £50 million. It's like, well, you might be looking at that.
I
don't know if they meant it in the Puff Daddy sense of I am literally looking at £50 million. It's in my trainer cupboard.
I'm in the supermarket winking at people. I'll give you a quid for it. For this top side of beef.
But, I mean, this deal is a really easy deal, even in the current market, because Dortmund don't desperately need to sell. Mm. Sancho's not going to refuse to train or refuse to play. So it's the only question in this is, are United going to pay them money that's required? And the bottom line is, we know of all
of
the clubs in this environment, they actually have it.
So, thanks, noodles.
So there you go. I mean, they're getting closer to that magic 100 billion euro mark. Mm. I think they'll have to go a little bit above that. But I fully expect him to be a Manchester United player by end of August. Mm.
Manchester United are still refusing to meet the £110 million valuation.
Which is funny, because according to Bilt, they've offered like double what they were briefing they were offering like a week and a half ago. So if I was Dortmund, I'd go, give it another week, and you know, we might build ourselves a second stadium just because we can.
Thanks, Jadon. You can have yourself a statue. Lovely old job.
Yes. But the thing is, I think Dortmund might actually hang on to the money for a bit. I don't think they'll necessarily buy a replacement straight away. Mm. Like, we've seen people mention, they've mentioned Jonathan Okoné from Lille, who are very good at selling players, which is a good job because they're in a massive financial hole after Bielsa and his spendthrift ways. But I think when you know, especially in this market, when everyone knows that you've got that much money, I think you're as best to hold on to it. They don't desperately need a replacement straight away, which might seem weird to say about a player who produces so much so consistently for them. But I think they've got enough to cover him, at least for the short term. They've got Gio Reyna, they've got Torgan Hazard, Julian Brandt can play out wide. You know, there's so many options that they've got to play with. I think they might sit on it. But like I said, this is a weird transfer in that it's a huge, high-spec transfer that has got a really obvious A to B. Because like when United people were saying like a couple of weeks ago, well, you know, they don't really need him because of the emergence of Mason Greenwood. It's like, come on. Come on. He's available. He wants to come. You've got the money.
Yeah.
He can make you better. Now, I think the thing, like we were saying about Manchester United yesterday, is I don't think the fact that they have done so well to make the Champions League should gloss over the fact that they've got an enormous amount of improvement to do if they want to be a genuine title contender still. And here is an A-plus star who can help bring you closer to that.
But what do you do if you're United? Because people are always going to know that you've got loads of money to spend, and thus you
spend
can
it.
Be waited for. You can people can just hold out and hold out and hold out, can't they? Because ultimately...
Well, what you can do is pay the asking price rather than go back to the days of David Moyes where there is an asking price for Marouane Fellaini, for example, and you end up paying more than it.
Outstanding.
That's what you can do.
You've got the money, why not buy Fellaini? Right, a couple of players who are on the way out who have gone now. Dejan Lovren has left Liverpool. Without being arrogant, I think I have proved to be one of the best defenders in the world. That's my highlight from Lovren's career.
I thought that was you saying that.
I'm actually more an outside striker, but yeah, sure.
I can also play cello.
Yeah, after Croatia beat England at the World Cup, that was his moment. Because do you remember he was very poor in that? Maybe you don't. You guys won't remember this with such joy. But
I don't remember any poor performances from Dejan Lovren.
That 4-1 defeat to Tottenham Hotspur, and people were sort of mocking him and deriding him, and then he came out and showed Harry Kane who's boss. So happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, not on his birthday,
Harry.
Kate. Don't remind him of that.
Oh, anyway, so that's my Lovren highlight, and perhaps why people don't always warm to him in this country so much as they might.
I tell you what, I love the idea of Zenit as a very highly paid semi-retirement destination.
Oh, enjoyable. Beautiful part of the world.
Stadium on the river. It's absolutely fantastic. Oh. Get to hang out with Branislav Ivanovic.
Who else would you want to hang out with?
Did you see him breaking the Russian Cup at the weekend?
No, what did he do?
Well, because the Zenit completed the double.
Please tell me it was a karate chop.
Won the Russian Cup. Well, unfortunately, this wasn't a Steve Foster of Luton Town or Sergio Ramos vibe.
Right, where, didn't drop it off a bus under a wheel or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't that kind of Jose Mourinho trip over one of the cables into the cup.
It's made of glass and simply dropped. And the top and like one of the handles came off. Obviously, all the players found it hilarious, while all the coaching staff and administrative staff were absolutely horrified.
Apoplectic. Oh, no. I mean, to be honest, glass is a perfect super glue kind of, you know, Loctite job. I mean, that's the first thing they list on.
How'd you sweep it off a pitch, though?
Good point. Good point. How many pieces did it fall in? Surely it was only three or four pieces. Yeah, was it not kind of Gorilla Glass, what they put what they make iPhones out of?
Obviously not.
Was it the joins? Because obviously it has to be fused together. Presumably it comes into a few different parts. Or did it shatter completely?
No, there are some bits shattered off it.
Right.
So there was
shearing rather
there
than...
There was a degree of broken glass.
Right. Okay.
Rather than just one element falling off it.
Well, be careful. In bare feet, guys.
I can definitely see Dejan Lovren doing that this time next year anyway. That's the bottom line. If there's anyone who's going to drop a cup, it's probably him, isn't it?
I'm having it.
Jan Vertonghen has also left Tottenham Hotspur as a free agent. Should we roll up for some favourite moments of Super Jan? No?
Feel free.
Go on.
All right then.
It's funny actually, I thought of Jan Vertonghen when I was on the way here this morning because I was driving through Limehouse and there was a man who was locked out of his flat standing on the pavement in flip-flops and a Superman dressing gown.
Nice. I'm enjoying that.
Do you reckon he definitely was, or does he do that every morning? Yeah. Show off his glad rags. Well, Eric Dyer tweeted in response to the kind of bye, thank you very much, Sean, tweets, the moment when Jan Vertonghen pulled down the... It wasn't the pants, was it? It was the shorts of the Villa player, Nicholas Hellenius, in the League Cup. He was trying to, like, I don't really know, defend with his hands, and he yanked his shorts down.
Straight off. See you later.
Yeah. But Hellenius finished the shot, got the shot away, which I thought was very professional.
it's the first thing you taught. To be honest,
carry on.
Join a top flight level club. That's the first thing you shot. You get pantsed, the ball comes in, and you've got to finish.
Play to the whistle even after debagging.
Yes, exactly.
But less disrespectfully, probably the 3-0 against Dortmund in the Champions League last season. Mm. I think that was one of his great performances, an assist.
That was magnificent.
A goal. Mm. He was running things. And I think his kind of unflappable nature turned into sort of slightly slower, lumbering style of play
when you talk about
he's been a great player for Spurs.
Oh, he really has. And when you talk about his unflappable nature, it reminds me of when Kyle Walker for Tottenham social media did the Halloween prank where, like, the players would have to come in for an interview and it was in the dark and he'd come out, like, dressed as a ghost.
Right.
And everyone jumped 6 foot up in the air and did loads of swears, apart from Vertonghen. It was like, what is this?
Nice.
That is exactly it.
Enjoyable.
Oh, that's another great moment.
I think that's
one
his greatest Tottenham
probably
moment.
His greatest Tottenham moment.
One football match and a spooking.
And some pants.
And some pants and a pantsing.
I would very much like to see him back at Ajax.
Yes, I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
9 years there.
Yeah.
So.
Would he get the money? He is a free agent.
After the break, we'll decide.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
All right, guys, we cobbled together the funds to buy Jan Vertonghen in the break. So thanks for sticking with us.
He's going to be pressing the buttons on the iPad for next time.
Took surprisingly short time. Obviously, Andy Brussel is looking pretty flush at the moment. Right, so let's talk a bit about some of the middle teams. I feel like they didn't get enough
respect
in the Premier League.
They don't deserve it, Kate. They don't deserve it.
So are you pleased that Newcastle have ascended to the ranks of middling Premier League team?
Yeah.
It's not bad, is it? But it's better than a season of relegation struggle, right?
It is better than a season of relegation struggle. But, I mean, Newcastle United at the moment are just this... I mean, quite apart from the takeover, quite apart from the protest, quite apart from anything, we are just a constant conveyor belt of these broken gingerbread men. We're a championship, we're a bedrock championship team... with players like Matt Ritchie, who play their hearts out, and Jamal Lascelles, and we got a good keeper. And then every year we get 6 months of ASM or Kennedy. Oh. And we go, oh, they're good on socials. Oh, they're quite, they've got great tattoos, or they're good at stepovers, or they wear crazy clothes, and they're fun and they're exciting to watch. And then those exciting players look around and they see people who can't put the ball in the net. And it's just a constant 10-year nonsense of that, really. And Emmanuel Riviere turns up for a bit and then he goes, and it's just that. And I think we club these kind of middle of the table kind of teams together. And I think Newcastle are kind of a bit of a class apart from that, a class lower than that, in that they're just a championship team who happen to have 6 month periods where we have quite exciting, interesting players for a little while, and the team really get behind them, and then they go and we go, oh, they just fall out of form. Oh, you know, I'm still excited about Gabby Obertan coming into form, to be quite
frank. It's interesting, isn't it, Kate, how Sam Maximin is one of the stories of the season. Mm. Would he be that at any other club, I think, is the question. Because how many Premier League teams is he going to get into the first 11 of? We know he's got so much talent. Do you know why we know he's got so much talent? Because all we heard when he was in France is Mario Balotelli telling him, I always tell him he's going to play for Real Madrid. Well, if Super Mario says it, that's good enough for me. Patrick Vieira got to the point with Sam Maximin where he completely lost patience with him. Right. He said, right, we've got to get rid of him. But whatever. And I think it's really interesting that he's got this sort of combination of huge responsibility that he's never had anywhere else, simply because he's technically quite a bit above everyone who he's playing with, and so much of what the team does rests on him. And I think it's made him become more responsible and more grown up. We know he's done some stupid stuff when he was a bit younger. But I think the other thing is he gets something back from that because he gets to be the superstar. Mm. Where else would he get that?
It's the Ben Arfa thing again, isn't it? Really, too. Would that be a fair comparison?
Yeah,
because we take these players and we have a lovely time with them. And I see in players like Martin Dubravka and ASM, I just see that putting the ball into the box or making save after save after save gets really boring when you look around and all of the other players are just not on your level. And I see that kind of level of, oh, just get me out of here.
Shay Given got to that point,
yes,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Going way back.
Yeah, massively. And it was just a case of, like, I can't believe, it was like the Crows leaving the Tower of London. It was like, or the Ravens rather. Like, I can't believe Shay Given's left the club. Well, if you'd watched the back four, the rotating back four for like 15 years or 10 years of Shay Given's time at Newcastle, you understood is complete frustration, and footballers do turn over a lot quicker in 2020. And I just look at some of the times where he's putting the ball into the box, and nobody was on the end of it, from Gale to Muto to the big 40 million pound elephant in the room who just cannot put the ball in the back of the net in spite of playing every game this season. It's I think that will become boring, and I can't see him being at the club, by Christmas. ASM, I think he's too much of a jewel to be sold if the takeover doesn't go through.
Ravens actually in the Tower of London have their wings clipped, so it's impossible
for them
to actually move.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's depressing.
So I don't know if that spreads across to the
right.
ASM.
How do we clip ASMR's wings, so to speak?
Let's talk a bit about Wolves, shall we? I don't think definitely not fair to lump them in with the kind of middle rankers. They're one of the few teams remaining who have something still to play for, although they might not be in Europe. The situation,
well, that's it. It's kind of backward step, isn't it, if they don't make it?
Potentially, but the situation is with, I mean, there's so many, I'm delighted to say we still have permutations available to us, despite
yes.
the fact that the season is over. But it's possible that 8 Premier League clubs could be competing in Europe next season based on a whole load of surprising and unexpected combination of things, such as, for example, Wolves winning the Europa League,
yes.
obviously, because they're out of the places, or if Chelsea win the FA Cup, then Wolves qualify for the Europa League second qualifying round as the seventh place team. And all sorts.
I just think, why would you want that? You've got this. I think the smallest squad in the Premier League. Mm. You've had a really, really long campaign. I feel really sorry for the Wolves supporters who can't obviously follow their team at the Europa League fixtures left. You know, they could go all the way. Why would you want to get back into that? You've had your adventure. Well, half an adventure, so to speak, as a Wolves supporter. I would probably think about, you know, speculating a little bit and thickening out your squad a little bit to try and possibly, you know, go for the Champions League play.
It seems like Nuno needs to be talked into doing that, though.
Yeah.
It's his choice, because they've clearly got the resources to do that, but he wants to roll with a pretty small squad.
I think 20 players they've used this season.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And they've played more than anyone else, and they started their season, a year ago yesterday?
Maybe it's just very ludicrous like that. Maybe you just can't remember names.
It's his stuff. But I mean, who are we
He's got
really?
2K memory. We need a memory upgrade for him.
He's clearly, this is what he wants to do. This is not some mistake, is it? So I think he's probably done enough to prove to the likes of us
that this is
a legitimate method. And I mean, of course, when Leicester, I've mentioned this before, but when Leicester won the title, you know, they famously used fewer players than everyone else. It's a strategy, and it works pretty nicely sometimes.
And Wolves are really fit as well.
Correct.
I think you look at the way they've played most of this season, that until very recently, it's been them coming on strong in the back end of games, which scientifically shouldn't work given the point, as you say, Kate, at which they started the season. It's amazing. They do a great job with the players there.
Well, if you compare that a team like that to how a team like Crystal Palace have faced off in the post-lockdown era of the Premier League, they're an older squad. They look knackered most matches, and their form has fallen off a cliff. There's definitely something to be said for fitness and youth and players knowing you know, the abilities of each other, I suppose, to a certain extent. Is that fair?
Talking to Palace though, Jordan Ayew, Premier League goal of the season.
Is that true? Has that been ratified?
I thought it was Sons against Burnley.
Oh. Were you told that by the Spurs fake news media?
Oh, whoops, maybe I was.
We've put enough doubt in each other's minds.
Yeah.
Can we just say Jordan Ayew's goal was a very good goal?
It was a very good goal.
Quite out of keeping with the rest of Crystal Palace's yes. season. I mean, I think Palace are an interesting one amongst this lot of middlers. Like, where do they go?
They go to a place where a vending machine that dispatches strikers that can score goals.
Jesus Christ, it's absolutely amazing, isn't it, that Roy Hodgson has been able to do this. So they finished 14th. They had, 7 defeats and a draw. When we started after lockdown again, I said confidently that if they were to win everything, they could get into Europe. Well,
they did not do that.
That was not the outcome that we discovered. But yeah,
you're very brave. You could have brushed that under the carpet.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to. You know, I accept my flaws absolutely. But given that, okay, these results aside, they started well comparatively, and given that, as you say, Hodgson hasn't had anyone who can put the ball in the back of the net for the whole of the season.
Yeah, and when they brought in it was Tosin, wasn't it? Like, I just thought, oh, maybe this will be the squad that he can find his feet. But obviously, injuries have seen to that. They don't have anyone to put the ball in the net. Hodgson's been roundly criticised for being unable or unwilling to use youth to put youth into the side. But the team looks sluggish, and so fans are just sort of going, put some youth into the side, give us a bit of speed. The turnover's too slow for a Premier League team again in 2020. So let's put a bit of let's blood some young players in, because you're only going in one direction. You're getting slower and you can't score goals.
You know the elephant in the room when we're talking about Crystal Palace?
They're the slowest animal.
What, Joe Linton again? What's he doing?
It's Alexander Sorloth, who has been on loan at Trabzonspor.
Yes. Brilliant.
He scored 30 times this season.
Oh my word.
He's been absolutely
fantastic.
Incredible. And he's just been, it's not just his goals though, his all-round play has been magnificent. He brings other players into the game. Obviously, the minute he walks through the doors at Selhurst Park, because it's what happens, he'll score one goal all tendon. The next season.
All of his tendons will just wither.
But I mean, they've got to at least give him a go. I mean, Trabzonspor banned from Europe next year. They won't be able to afford to sign him. They're in a bit of a mess financially. So I think they could do a lot worse than give him a rattle, because it is the most difficult thing, isn't it, for a club of that size to find yourself a goal scorer that can score even 15 goals in a season. That's really tough. They've got to give him a crack. The thing that people always forget about the Turkish Super League is physically it's absolutely brutal. Defenders can get away with all sorts of stuff they can't get away with in the Premier League. So people always have this worry when players come back to the Premier League that, oh, well, will they be physically up to it? He'll be physically up to it. He's been metaphorically eating spinach out of a can for the last year.
Where was Les Fernand forged?
Yeah.
Turkey. There you go.
Exactly.
I'm going to say in the mines of Mordor.
Well, here's. Here's on Turkey.
Speaking of that pace of the Wolves side as well, a moment ago, we have just had the fastest Premier League players list, the one we've all been waiting for. It's not the Ballon d'Or, which is cancelled. Who cares about that?
Karl-Heinz Rummenigge does.
He does, doesn't he?
He said he's going to bend Gianni Infantino's ear because I think Lewandowski should have won it. Let's bring back the award. Let's bring back the award. I've got a winner for you.
Yeah, I've got my man.
I have some small sympathy with that for that, but not specifically from the Karl-Heinz Rummenigge perspective.
Good old cuddly Bayern. Yeah, they do elicit sympathy, don't they?
I like to be on the side of the underdog. Anyway, these Premier League's quickest stars, 2019-20.
Wow.
It's not... It is exactly who we think it is still. It is Kyle Walker, top of the shops.
I mean, but for me, like, speed isn't something you immediately go off of him, but clearly his kind of...
wins it every year.
His fast twitch kind of muscle fibres, you know, they just engage at the right time when he's, you know, leaping from a window to a drain pipe at 4 a.m.
in
a dress shirt. He's just, you know, he's just straight out there.
He can do that in a dress shirt. Without Nikes on. Wow, that's decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was recorded, his fastest time of 23.49 miles per hour was recorded against Chelsea on June the 25th. So it was post-lockdown. Luckily, he didn't use up all his energy in the break.
So is it... You wanted a snigger for that and you will get one.
Yeah.
I guess I've got to ask the question, though, about Aubameyang. Is it because he's 30 or is it because he plays a little differently? Because he does play a little differently for Arsenal now, doesn't he? He's not just all about the speed. I mean, I think when you look at the transfer market interest for Aubameyang, which, well, if it was what it might have been, he wouldn't have ended up at Arsenal in the first place. Because, you know, if I had a quid for every time he said, my granddad supported Real Madrid and it's my dream to go and play there, I would be a very rich man indeed. But he has, like, quite self-consciously moved on from being this speed demon, from being this guy at Dortmund, and when he, in the last part of his spell at Dortmund and when he first arrived at Arsenal, this bloke who, like, touches the ball 15 times a game, and if he's not scoring goals, he's just not involved. Now he's started to, like, reacquaint himself with that all-round game. He's definitely changed, hasn't he?
I think it is.
Don't look at me blankly. Jim's not here.
Is it just the way that teams that play at Arsenal have got a big reputation in spite of themselves, and people just defend deep these days against teams that think that they think they've got more.
So he's had to find a different way.
Yeah, he's had to. He's had to play in front of the.
Definitely.
Yeah, true. Can we stick with the main question that we want answering here, which is which of the 10 players on the 2019-20 fastest Premier League player award would you say you could beat in a race, Pete?
Well, I don't know. I mean, who we got?
Adama Traore is second to Kyle Walker. I thought he would win, to be honest. He's so fast.
But Traore baby oils his arms up, doesn't he? So he's got he's got a man who puts a baby oil on him, his arms, so defenders can't grab him. Have you not seen this? Definitely happens. He's like the ravishing recruit of modern football.
Are you sure?
He gets
all
baby oiled up.
You know how he's got that problem with his shoulder? Are you sure?
It's probably just Raljex, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sure they baby oil his arms up so defenders can't grab him.
Of course, he's such a good dribbler. He doesn't run in straight lines. So maybe Pete would be able to beat him. He runs pretty much like you would run to avoid an alligator that was chasing you if you're on holiday in Florida.
Yes. So from one point to another point, you might beat him.
Yeah.
But he would have travelled twice as far.
Yes.
I'd have him doing crossrail, just running full pelt into a hill. Right through it. Here's your train hall. Unbeatable power, that man. Fantastic.
Oh,
Oh my goodness, I've lost track of where I am. Mason Greenwood is third, by the way, if anyone's interested.
He might find himself slowing up next season, depending on how his football team play, but I doubt it.
What are you implying?
I'm just saying Man United might change their style to accommodate new players, like Jadon Sancho.
Oh, I see.
Who I hear is on sale for £49 million.
What an absolute bargain. Let's jaunt into Spain and a club that make Watford look like a bastion of managerial continuity. Almeria, what have they been up to of late?
They are appointing their fifth coach of the season, Jose Gomes. They're going Portuguese again. Yes, that's right. Guti is just a distant memory now. Although we're not allowed to, as I've already said on here, we're not allowed to call him Guti in a coaching sense.
Right.
So in one of his first press conferences for Almeria, one of the journalists called him Guti. He's like, no, I'm not Guti. Mm. I'm Jose Maria Gutierrez here.
Nice. Guti gang.
Take me seriously.
I like that.
It's like when Mel B became Melanie Brown.
Yes.
For example.
Andrew Cole.
That's
it's in the words of the Pixies, I am un sacked Andalusia. They are just loving, it's a Pixie song, I am un shan Andalusia.
Debesa.
I'm helping you out, Kate. You're looking at me with those big eyes.
We're giving you the song title. Come on.
Wow, that was just a collection of words.
but the owner is a Turkey Al Sheikh. He is like the entertainment's kind of like the party planning committee for Riyadh, basically.
Yes.
I know him from his relationship with the WWE, and he sets up all the wrestling matches that none of the Jewish wrestlers can wrestle in, none of the women wrestlers can wrestle in, and all that business. So I find him endlessly fascinating, that bloke. But he seems very, very big on just getting rid of...
Deeply patient man. Well, they've got, I think, the second biggest budget in the Segunda. Mm. So for him, that says... we've got to get promoted this season. Never mind the fact, if you don't give anyone more than five games to coach your team, might be a little bit difficult.
Mm.
So Guti was fired after they didn't cement a place in...
Sorry, who was fired?
In the top two.
That's very rude.
I can call him Guti. I'm okay.
Mr. Gutierrez, if you're listening, we apologise from Brussels.
Lo siento. But I think it's a really good question what will happen, not just because... they're all over the place. But when will the Spanish playoffs start? I mean, this is such a big deal to decide the last place in La Liga. But at the moment, everything's kind of on ice because it looked as if Elche would be the fourth team in it. Because, of course, all the games, like Monday last week, the last games of the season happened simultaneously, except for Deportivo La Coruña against Fuenlabrada, because there was an outbreak of COVID amongst the Fuenlabrada squad. Six of them went down with it. That eventually ended up being 28
now, I think, at the last count, like in their whole kind of staff.
It's astonishing.
They can't really get annoyed, can they? Like, I know, look, if it was reversed, fine, but 28, what have you been up to, lads? Come on.
It's something. Well, Javier Tebas has said, the responsibility for it is mine. I think that's the extent of the responsibility, him saying, I am taking responsibility.
I started the kissing party. I played spin the bottle. I hope everyone's all right.
But anyway, in terms of sporting integrity, they said, we've got to go ahead with the rest of the games.
Mm.
Which kind of... I mean, surely sporting integrity is playing all of them at the same time. So anyway, what this meant is Deportivo, who, of course, yes, we know, won the league in 2000... were relegated without kicking a ball to the Segunda B, which is a mess for them. Fuenlabrada, with the other results, only need a point to get in the playoffs instead of Elche.
Yeah.
But then it was at the weekend, the La Liga released a statement going, we'd like to thank Fuenlabrada for... agreeing not to compete in the playoffs, and Spanish football owes you one, is what Javier Tebas said.
Cool.
And
then, put a dollar sign on that. Well, put a euro on that, please.
Fuenlabrada released a statement less than an hour later saying,
get fucked.
we didn't opt out of the playoffs and we reserve the right to take legal action.
That's getting the jab in, isn't it, on Twitter? Yeah, we've broken up. We split up. Incorrect.
It is like their response to... Do you remember that guy, Eamon, who wrote that song, Fuck It, I Don't Want You Back?
Yes. And love it.
He got the, there was the return diss track.
Who? What was it? What was his? What was the name of the his ex who had a who had the diss track?
I don't know, but I remember she rhymed that line with "Your sex was whack."
Yeah,
didn't she?
That's a good thing, though, isn't it? It's good. It's whack is good, isn't
no,
it?
No, whack is not good.
I thought whack was good. I thought it was bad. Oh,
Pete,
nuts.
Pete, there is.
I do not listen to enough rap like you, Andy.
That which is whack and that which is fly.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Is the fly a mascot for any teams?
It's not Brentford. It's not Brentford. Let's not get her in sex confused.
Right. Okay.
Deary me.
Let's whack off.
Yeah, so now that's what I was confusing that with.
Mm, oh, okay. Well, no, none of that. None of that in the studio, please. Oh, dear.
Yes, right. Let's get out. I think that probably is the moment to get out of here, isn't it, gents? Congrats to Jurgen Klopp on being LMA manager of the season.
Bravo.
And revealing as Sir Alex Ferguson did in announcing the award that he woke him up at 3:30 in the morning to tell him he'd won the league.
Why was he fawning him? He's a man of advancing years. He doesn't need that in his life.
I was thinking the same. You don't want shocks at that stage of
goodness.
Of your retirement. Goodness gracious
me. Don't have your phone on loud. It's like I could ring my mum at 3 o'clock and she'd wake up because she's got a phone on loud. Ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
Don't do it.
Is this actually, yeah, so the argument you're making is that it is actually his own fault, Ferguson.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
Sir Alex.
Sir Alex. It's the button on the side. It's a little flicky. Flick it. No. That's volume. Flick it.
Right, we do all need to get out of here for a nap because Jurgen Klopp's been calling us at all hours. Tomorrow...
You up, just one league.
Tomorrow it's Jules, Vish and Pete. Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
See you later.
I've been Kate Mason. This has been the Football Ramble. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Seems like you really want him. Oh, hello.
Oh, it is the 10 o'clock Jadon Sancho alarm. It goes off every time we mention Jadon Sancho on the podcast. We're normally not recording at this time, so that's why it's going off today. It is a Tuesday. It is a special time for Jadon Sancho. I'm filling. Why am I filling, Kate? You're the host.
Because we're going to edit that out, so I wasn't going to waste
time. Come on! Charlie, put that at the end, you shit. Oh, yes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.